Good morning.
Let's pause for a word of prayer.
Father, this morning again, we want to thank you for the privilege of being here, the privilege of hearing your word, and the privilege of knowing your will for our lives and understanding what you have for us. Father, I thank you that you interpret your words to our hearts through your Spirit. And I just pray, move among us this morning, Father, and bless us as we hear your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to share a story this morning from the Bible. And it's one of those stories that almost reads like a fairy tale. We have a great warrior afflicted with a terrible disease. We have a young heroine. We have a mysterious healer. It also includes kings and a wicked servant. But I want to especially focus on two other things that are in the story, and that is some muddy water and some dirt. First Corinthians 1:25 through 29 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I invite you to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, then I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in his house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went not whither. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servant, and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever, and he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now, hopefully we can learn a few lessons from this story. One of the first things that stood out to me was in the first verses there. There was this young girl. And I don't know how young she was. The Bible doesn't say, but she was quite young. I would imagine anywhere between 10 and 15 years old. And here she was. She had been kidnapped from her own land. And yet here she was, as a slave to someone, and yet she believed in God. You know, how many people have had a lot less happen to them than that? And they say, you know, if there would really be a loving God in heaven, he wouldn't allow these things to happen. Yet that's not what she did. She still had faith in God. She still believed in him. There was something that had happened in her heart, even though she was far from home and she was far from what she had known, and yet she believed and she trusted in God. You think, you who are between 10 and 15, you know, what would happen to you all if you were all of a sudden kidnapped and taken far away and you had to be a slave? Would you still believe in God? You know, that those are the kind of things that we can all ask ourselves. And in this morning of the devotional, we heard about two people that sort of this same kind of thing happened. And they kept on going. They kept on believing God, you know, Daniel and Joseph. They still believed in God. And the Lord rewarded them for that. One other comment here at the beginning is that Naaman, being captain of the Syrians, it tells us that the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria through him. And yet this man, at that point, as far as I know, did not believe in God. Interesting how God's purposes can happen through people and through circumstances. And thinking of special people that do not believe in God. And yet God can accomplish his work through it. Then in verse 11 and 12. This was after he had gone over to Israel. The king of Israel, when he received the letter, he wasn't sure what to make of that one. You know, what would you think if a foreign king would send you one of his servants and say, here, heal him? Even some doctors sort of tremble at those kind of things, right? If it's a special somebody, you think twice about what you're going to do to this man. And here he was being asked to heal something that was incurable at that time. All because there was a misunderstanding, right? They thought it was the king. No, it was the prophet that was there. So he went. And then the prophet said, you know, because the king even rent his clothes. And I'm not sure how much time there was between that, between when Naaman came in until Elisha sent someone over and said, hey, says, send him over here. But the news had definitely traveled. And they didn't have social media, right? And they didn't have telephones. But the news certainly traveled that the king had rent his clothes. So Naaman came to the house there, and with his horses, and stopped in front of the house. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. In children's lesson, we heard about that as well, right? About being angry. Why was he angry? But even beyond that, I noticed something that he said. He said, behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. I had it already programmed in my mind. I was thinking that he was going to come out. And he says what he thought he was going to do. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place, and then he would be healed. But that's not how it happened. And that right there took him for a loop. Because he had already pre-planned how this is going to be. Behold, I thought. Behold, the limiting effect of thought. How many times can those things happen to us? He had his expectations of what this is going to be like. And then we end up with the same kind of situation. I thought it was going to be this way. Behold, I thought I was going to be healthy. And here I am, dealing with pain, dealing with sickness, dealing with things that I don't even know about. Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought I was going to get married and, ooh, it was going to be all peaches and roses and everything was going to be so nice and we're going to right off into the sunset and everything was going to be nice forever and ever. Amen. Whew. Behold, I thought, and it didn't end up being that way. And it takes a lot of people for a loop. They are so focused on what they thought was going to be that they cannot deal with what is in front of them. And the easy, simple things they could do to correct what is happening. Because they thought it was going to be different. Enough said this. I've wished sometimes that I could have talked to some people who got married, if I could have talked to them at least a month before they got married and made them a little bit biased in their way of thinking and gotten them to think a little bit differently at least, I could have set some of their expectations. It's not that I'm saying that I have all the answers. No, please. But there are certain things that I will just say this. Behold, I thought, you know, this is how it's going to be. Well, it didn't quite end up being that way. Behold, I thought I was going to have a peaceful life. You know, things are just going to happen, and I'm going to have a job, and I'm going to raise a family, and I'm going to do this. And, you know, I've had a lot of things that I have had planned out in my life. And behold, they aren't that way. You know, as I tell people, when I used to live south of the border, I used to tell people that that Holmes County and Lancaster County are two good places to be from. And behold, I live in Lancaster. And these kind of things can really mess with us because we thought that this is what the Lord wanted us to do. You know, we've poured ourselves into some projects, some very worthy projects, that today look like they went to nothing. Behold, we thought. And yet here we are. And I think every last one of us has those kind of things. Every last one of us had those kind of ideals. And I'm not saying we should not have ideals. I'm not saying we should not look towards the future. Disappointments can make us apathetic, indifferent, and listless. And life, I find, is such a balance of pushing the boundaries, yet having faith where I am today. And continuing to live there. See, patient is an action verb. And then we have the flip side as humans. Behold, I thought I can't do this. Have you ever had this kind of thing happen where you thought you can't do it until you were pushed into the situation and you had to do it, and all of a sudden you realized, I can actually do that. And God tends to sort of pull the rug out from underneath us every so often so that we sort of go on to the next thing. Behold, I thought, I can't do this. If you think you can or you can't, you are right. That's a quote. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I wonder sometimes, what part of all don't we as humans understand? What part of that is so hard for us? See, it comes back to, behold, I thought. That's where it comes back to. Verse 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? You know, God so many times uses that which is easy and despised to do his work. Prophet said, wash and be clean. What was so hard about that? It wasn't. It was easy. It was way too easy. It was just too easy. And that's why his men came back and reasoned with him, says, look, if the prophet would have asked you to do something really, really hard, you would have gone ahead and done it. But because it was too easy, he said, it's too easy. It's not enough. You know, what's so hard about washing and being clean? But see, it comes back to expectations. God uses the easy and the despised things many times to bring glory to himself. And so many times God cannot receive the glory from a situation because we insert ourselves and our puny strength into that situation. And that's why God cannot receive the glory. And if you think back to the story of Gideon. I think he started off with around 10,000 men, and they were up against 135,000 men. God had already decided the outcome of this battle. He says, I'm going to win this one. But he said, we have a problem. We have too many men. We have too many people. So he removed some of them. And then he removed some more. Ended up with 301 men. Against 135,000. Was God panicking? No. It was exactly at the point, at the place where God could finally receive the glory. Because with 300 men against 135,000, there's only one logical conclusion. Doesn't matter if you believe in God or don't. And God receives the glory because of it. You know, I think salvation sometimes for many people is too easy as well. And we try to earn salvation instead of just accepting its transformation and then its demands on our life. It's easy, yet it's complicated. And I wonder sometimes if one of the reasons that we love to earn our salvation isn't because we would also love to dictate the terms of our salvation. Because if I can earn it, and I can do good things for it, then I can also sort of steer its demands on my life. And I'm not saying that that's always what goes through our minds when we have this situation, but I wonder if that doesn't go a lot deeper into the real reason we a lot of times struggle with this. You know, salvation hasn't changed. Salvation is still through grace, based on obedience. Those two things have not changed. So we accept it freely. And we accept its transforming power. But we also accept its demands on our lives. And now, we do not because we have to. We do because we want to. Because we are so absolutely thankful for what God has done for us. Verse 14, God rewards obedience. Then went he down, dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He went down, dipped seven times, and he was clean. Where did he dip? In Jordan. And not five times, not nine times, seven. Seven times. Obedience is so simple, yet it's so difficult. It is so easy. Go down to the Jordan, dip seven times. What is so difficult about obeying God? What is so difficult about obeying my parents? What's so difficult about obedience in general? A lot of times, it goes against what I want. It goes against my expectations, and it goes against the expectations of other people for me. That's a lot of times. Those three things have a real big influence in why or why not we obey. Next thing I'd like to look at is how God uses many different ways to speak to people. Verse 15, he returned to the man of God, and he said, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules' burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto thee. But unto the Lord. Here was a man that up to this point had not believed in God, and now he did. He says, I now recognize there is only one God. He said, if you're not going to take anything from me, would you at least give me the opportunity to load down 2 mules with some dirt? And I'm going to take this dirt back, and I am going to make an altar. And on this altar is where I will worship. He renounced all of the gods to worship the only true God. And I don't know what happened there in Syria. Did many more people believe in God? I don't know. But this man, and I'm sure his household, ended up believing in God. And they ended up worshiping there on this dirt altar. The kind of altar that God had asked that be built in that way. You know, we today have altars as well. There's lots of things we can worship. There's lots of things we can go after. And the things we go after, those are the things we worship. But God wants us to be like Naaman. God would love for us to renounce all other gods. And he says, and he was even in a quandary, where he says, I go in with the king. And when I go in with the king, and he kneels down there, I also kneel down in front of that God. But he said, you know, may the Lord forgive me, because I know I'm going to be called to do this. And the prophet says, go in peace. Said, you're okay. You know the only true God. I know you're convinced. I know you're not going to be worshiping there while you're there. Go in peace. Real strange thing to be told, right? But that is the story. You know, we love to have our theology so right, and we love to have people all in all their right boxes and everything like that. And here was one that just didn't fit. And God still gave his blessing on this man's life. Maybe we can learn a lesson from that as well. Not everybody fits into our box. And yet, they can still serve God. Now, I'm not promoting you all going out and just doing that kind of thing just because he did. But not everything fits into our box. God still loves all people. Last thing I'd like to notice here is how God punishes greed and lies. Now here was Gehazi. He saw the money there. And the dollar signs just went really crazy on his eyes. I'm not sure if the prophet at that moment saw those dollar signs go up there. Just like talking this morning about how Cain, you know, you could see it on his face, his anger. Well, you could have about seen those dollar signs go up on Gehazi's face as well. He saw that stuff. He's like, and he's not even, I mean, ask a little bit for me at least, you know. I'll take some. If you don't want some, I'll take some. Well, he ended up. After he had left, he went after him. And he had a well-concocted story. He said, two young men, over the prophets, just came. And, you know, one talent of silver and two changes of clothes. That'd be great. And he insisted, take at least two talents. He took it, he hid it. You know, greed went on to also lies. And the lies didn't stop just out there. When he came back, the prophet asked him, he says, Gehazi, where were you? Oh, I wasn't anywhere. I was just right here. Wait a minute. He says, my spirit was out there. When he turned around and talked to you, I know all about it. You imagine what he felt at that moment? All of a sudden, he's like, yeah, I'm found out, and I lied about it. And the prophet didn't even take the stuff away. He let him have his stuff. But he says, you know what? You can have your stuff. But you are going to have leprosy, and not only you, your descendants after you are going to have leprosy. A hard thing to live out because of some lies and some greed. God can give us and allow us to have the desires of our heart, even if they're wrong. But together with that, he will also give us the reward for it. And if it's something wrong, we will not want the reward for it. That's the unfortunate thing. Bible tells us that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can have it, just like Gehazi did. He kept his two talents of silver. He had his raiments. But he also had leprosy. A hard thing to live with. Just because he was willing to exchange his integrity for a little bit of money and two changes of raiment. So I guess the thing I'd like to leave with us this morning are two things. First one is dip in Jordan. 7 times. Simple, direct obedience. Do it. The next thing is I'd like for each one of us to take those 2 mule loads of dirt in our lives. Build that altar. Worship only Jehovah God on that altar. And be consumed with His worship. Let's pray. Let's do prayer. Father, as we kneel here, Lord, we are unworthy of Your love. We are unworthy of Your many blessings. And most of all, we're unworthy of salvation. Lord, I pray that each of us this morning again would, because of what You have done in our lives, go back to You in simple obedience, to do Your will, to dip in Jordan 7 times. And then, Lord, get up and build that altar and worship You. Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, so that You will receive all the glory. Lord, we thank You again. And we praise You for Your care, for Your goodness, and for Your love. We thank You in the name of Jesus.